Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
Okay, we're back. Three Dudes with a View. This is our last show of the week.
Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Tomorrow morning, this time in the station inside Middle Tennessee with Jim Ross. And we will be back with you on Monday. Have a great weekend. As usual, folks, we are here live at WKOM FM 101.7. The podcast of our past shows and this show will be up on our website or Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts. If you want to watch the live stream, the video of this show, you can go to our website right now or go to Facebook. Or if you want to see archived video live streams of this show, they are on our website or on Facebook and maybe some other places as well. Clayton, where else?
Yeah, you can check it, like you said, on our website, Facebook, X, Twitch. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. So the live stream and the audio, the podcast are available. The podcast on our website, wherever you get your podcast, and the live stream available on our website and archives of the live stream as well. And that would be on our website, Facebook, X/Twitter, and Twitch. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. Welcome back.
Good morning, Del. Thank you a lot. Good morning, everybody.
Clayton, take that. I got disconnected. I couldn't hear what Miss York had to say.
Good morning, Miss York. Glad to have you back. I know you were out yesterday, and you missed a very lively show.
Yeah. That's what they tell me.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm reconnected now. Miss York, welcome back. All right, Debbie Matthews, our regular special guest.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here today, guys.
Good to be here. And native son, favorite son of Columbia, 77 graduate Columbia Central High School, Ron Hart. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome in.
I love the Stormy Daniels thing, Ron.
Oh, yeah, Ron, we're going to get to that in a minute. Ron's column this week is entitled Weather Forecast for New York, 45 and Stormy.
She's got a documentary on Netflix. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be objective. I'm going to watch a little bit of this. Within 2 minutes, they had Stormy Daniels speaking as a guest speaker in front of Oxford University, and I was like, I'm out. I just can't do this.
Same woman who signed something saying that all that stuff was not true.
I know.
I mean, people like her and Michael Cohen. And
she was a guest lecturer at Oxford
University talking about how important, I just couldn't do it. I really said I can't do it. Maybe I'll turn it on 2 minutes at a time, but I was out at that point.
Talking about how important what was.
She was, and the case, and freedom of speech, and how she's been persecuted, and I was like, okay.
Hey, she got paid.
Yep.
She did get paid, so that's good business, but all those little kids were sitting there looking at her. Not
she
little kids, but...
And didn't abide by her agreement, I guess.
That's
She just basically broke a contract.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. Mm. But anyway, Stormy's got a movie. Ron's article was great. He sent it to me last night.
She's got more than one movie, apparently.
Stormy Webb?
Yeah. I'm not aware of those. I have not viewed them.
I've not seen them, but my understanding is she's got several movies out there.
Yeah. She got a lot of short vignettes where she violates the gag order. I'm going to tell you that much.
I'm sorry.
That was good, Ron.
That was good.
Oh, boy. All right, Debbie, you got an announcement. I understand you need to scoot.
I do. I've got a closing at 9 o'clock, guys. And I'm sorry I'm going to miss the show. Jim Grippo's back today, so it's going to be a fabulous show. But I have announced that I have my own show coming on the air. And so this Sunday is the very first show, and it will be a live show at 6 p.m. on Sunday. The Debbie Matthews Show, politics, religion, and me, I guess, are going to be themes that we'll talk about. But my special guest this week is a dear friend of mine. He's a political commentary radio show host out of Nashville, Matt Murphy. He's going to come down and christen my new show, and we're going to have fun Sunday night. And then on the 28th, I have a very special interview with my dear friend, Roy Feek. So between the weekend and having fun, turn on the radio at 6 o'clock on Sundays. You're going to have a great show. So the Debbie Matthews Show starts Monday, April 21st on 101.7.
This station, yes. FM 101.7, WKOM, 6 p.m. this coming Sunday night, the Debbie Matthews Show.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
That is exciting.
It
All
is.
Right. I can't wait to hear it.
Y'all have a great show.
All right. Thanks, Debbie. All right, we have back with us today Jim Grippo. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. Thanks for this forum over the last couple of days. I wouldn't have thought 6 weeks ago that I would have been on the radio for 3 days in a row.
It's great having you in. Great opportunity to get to know you.
And
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I want to be the first to congratulate Dr. Hensley on his win of District 28 Senate seat, because yesterday, as promised, I did connect with our SEC members, and the rules are the rules, and that clerical error is going to keep me off the ballot coming August. And I just want to make a couple points. One, when I vote in August, which is 4 months from now or so, I will be rebonified. So expect me, I've kind of learned a lot. I was brand new to the system 6 weeks ago, and so expect me, expect my name to be around, I guess. And
if you vote in the Republican primary in August, which you intend to do,
then I'll be 4 out of 4 again, and I'll be bonafide. So theoretically, okay, by the November election, I'd have been considered bonafide. And, you know, a couple things, obviously, I'm disappointed for sure. I'm kind of sad about how it all worked, and I still don't think it's right. I think the waiver, I know the mantra that I was told yesterday was the rules are the rules, but there's a waiver process that are in the rules.
I was about to say there's a reason why they have waivers.
Yeah, and remember too that now there's laws, and we all know the Ten Commandments that have been unchanged for thousands of years, if you will. And then there's rules that get changed by the whim of man, constantly. And so I respect the process. As promised, they did connect with me last night, and we had a long conversation about it. And
so these were the state executive committee persons for
Angie and Chris. Yeah, promised, they did their due diligence. And like I said, I respect the process. And it basically came down to the rules are the rules. And, you know.
Okay, and just to recap, folks, Jim Grippo, the state Republican Party, in the case of Senate races, has the say-so as to who is a qualified or bona fide Republican to run in the Republican primaries. In this particular case, and they require that in, the 3 out of the last 4 elections you voted in the Republican primary? Is that how that is? That
right, which I qualify under that statute. What I don't qualify under is the clerical error in my voting record. The single D on my voting record that I maintain is a clerical error.
The problem
was a look back that was instituted December or January of this year. So I was a bona fide Republican probably December 31. I was not a bona fide Republican whenever they clarified the rules.
And the problem being in 2020, Jim says that he voted in the Republican primary, and I believe him. But when you walk in the door out there at the polling place or at the election office, they ask you when it's primary time, they ask you, do you want to vote in the Democratic primary or the Republican primary? And the poll worker there, always nice folks, you know. I think they're volunteers or maybe barely paid volunteers. And always nice folks. And they say, you know, you want to vote in the Republican primary, the Democratic primary. And then they've got, you know, they check beside Democrat and by Republican. And so Jim's, the check mark for Jim's vote in 2020 was by Democrat. However, he's stated that he actually voted in the Republican primary that day and doesn't know why the Democratic box is checked. He was unaware of it.
Yeah, and there's the error that was immediately below mine.
Yeah, and below the voter immediately below, it was originally checked Democrat, and then it was scratched out and checked Republican.
leading, you know, a plausible theory being that when the clerk or the poll worker went back to correct her error, that she corrected it on the ballot on the name immediately below instead of on your name, which I think is a plausible theory. Clayton, you and I were trying to, and Ms. York, maybe you can help us out on this, because of course you're on the election commission. You know, my recollection of the process is, you know, you walk in the door and the poll worker says, you know, you want to vote in the Democrat or the Republican primary, and they've got a voter roll list there, and then they can either check, you know, by Democrat or check by Republican, just make a check mark. But my recollection is that that ledger that that first poll worker keeps does not get, and then what happens is you go down to the next poll worker and they print something out of, you know, they print something out of the printer and you sign and they hand that to you. And then you take that piece of paperwork to the poll worker who's actually takes you to the, it used to be the electronic voting machine. Now they take you to the paper ballot. But my point is there's no, so it's plausible that even though, because the ballot that Jim ultimately is voted on does not trigger off that ledger, it triggers off the next poll worker. It's plausible that the Democratic check by Jim's name was done in error, but yet he walked down again to the second poll worker, and they go, "What primary are you voting in?" He said Republican, and they let him vote Republican. That's a plausible theory, I think. I mean, Mr. York, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, if there's an error, then that falls on the administrator out at the election commission, you know, and my recollection is that when you register to vote, they ask you what party, Democrat, they give you a sheet to sign, and you sign two sheets, and it's passed on, and then a ballot is produced.
Where are those sheets? Where are those sheets at, Mr. York? I mean,
I don't know how long the administrator keeps them, but
22 months.
So there's no way that we can go back and look and try to match things up here and say, okay, here's the X number of votes that were in the Republican primary, X number of votes Democrat primary. Here's the X number of votes of people that say they were voting in each primary. There's no way to match it to see if it's off by one.
I don't know. Really, I don't know what procedure they would do that.
Yeah, and I don't see any blame to assign to the director of elections or
I want to put on the air. I have spoken extensively with Chris McAnally, the administrator of elections, and he is fantastic. We're lucky in Maury County to have him. He has been extraordinarily professional. He's went overboard in trying to get this all the way to the Secretary of State. So I want to be on the record. He's an A-plus guy.
And he's new.
Yeah, he's an A-plus guy. I want to be on the record, on the air, that I'm giving him a double thumbs up. Obviously, I'm disappointed in the result, not from him. This is purely an SEC waiver decision. Honestly, every person I have interacted with whose job is to do this have been superb.
Okay.
So I want to be on the record that, Chris, if you're listening, double thumbs up. Thank you for all your help. I put you in a tough situation, I know, and I apologize for that. But I think you've done everything you can in the right way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
It seems like they're trying to keep you off the ballot. The old school Republicans who may be entrenched can't have the latitude, the common sense to see you as a Republican and get you on the ballot. It seems like a little bit inside baseball, a little bit home cooked, a little bit to me. It sounds like.
Correct. I agree with that, Ron. I was thinking about it this morning. Common sense would say that the man has voted in every Republican primary that up to date until 2020, and he's alleging a mistake. What are the chances, if you look at that voter roll, that the guy in alphabetical order right after him has a mistake? Right, I mean, it literally a scribble through the mark. I mean, uh-huh. Common sense.
Immediately below.
So, again, this isn't the first time that the state Republican Party has made decisions like this. Again, they changed Robbie Starbuck, Morgan Ortegas, but they changed rules this year that weren't supposed to go into effect till 2026. They went ahead and moved them up to November or January of this year to protect Andy Ogles because they found out Baxter Lee was going to primary him. He is going to get primaried by a lady in Williamson or Davidson County. And I'm surprised they've allowed that to happen. But Scott Golden and the state party, they are turning voters like me away. And I can assure you they don't want to do that. Not for the long haul, because this right here is, like Ron said, it's inside baseball. Common sense out the window. And I would, you know, this really upsets me. And yeah, if you're out there and you're upset by this or you support Dr. Grippo, you know, remember who to vote for when these elections come up. Remember who to give money to and not to. It's just like yesterday. Jerry Bridenball was – I invited Dr. Grippo on the show the last 2 days, did I not?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't Jerry Bridenball. It wasn't Debbie Matthews. So these people inside the Republican Party that want to get upset at these folks, I'm the one who invited him on. These people are acting like a bunch of thugs, and it's a joke. And if you want to come after somebody, come after me. And
Let's be more particular, though, as to who's acting like a bunch of thugs. And that's,
well, it's the state party.
That's
pretty traditional, isn't it? Clayton?
Well, I mean, I just think it's a joke. I mean,
the state party, Clayton. Clayton's it's made up of old Republicans who've been around a while, entrenched Republicans. You can call them deep state, or I wouldn't call it deep state. They'll call them just entrenched Republicans. They're going to take care of their own. They know these other people. They don't know Grippo. They know these other people. They don't want any upstarts and messing with their honey hole. And that's wrong. The Democrats did it with RFK Jr., not letting him on the stage, not giving him Secret Service protection, not giving him any oxygen at all. People don't like to see that. Well, they don't like politics.
Well, let's be more particular as to what people might could do. Now, this decision lay in the hands of the Republican State Executive Committee members who reside in this senatorial or who represent this senatorial district. They are Angie McClanahan and Chris Morris from down in Giles County. Angie McClanahan is from here in Murray County. Now, folks, these folks are on the ballot every 4 years. The problem is that almost all of you, including myself, you know, walk into there to that ballot box and we go, what's the Republican State Executive Committee? What do they do? And then you look down at the names and you go, who are these people? I never heard of them before. Well, you know, and so that's how these folks get elected. Usually the ones who they're always on the ballot in alphabetical order. And usually the one who's got, you know, the one who's named Anderson, it always gets elected, you know. And so that's how it works. So, you know, and so now we're upset with our Republican State Executive Committee members, but we elected them. And because, I mean, I believe Jim Grippo, I believe it was in there. I believe he voted Republican, and he deserves to be on the ballot. But these folks have
they know better than us.
Yeah, they have declined, and Jim's going to be excluded from the ballot, and so it looks like Joey Hensley will be unopposed. Now, I mean, I support Joey Hensley, folks. He's
absolutely. I mean, there's nothing against. There's nothing to do with Dr. Hensley.
I mean, I think Joey's done a very good job, and I, as a rule of thumb, an incumbent who is a Republican who's done a reasonably good job, there's just no reason to replace him. So that's all good, but still, you know,
they don't want to leave it up to the voters. They don't believe that the voters in this area are smart enough to realize who's a conservative and who isn't, and it's insulting. And I feel that way. I think others feel that way. And
I think these state executive committee people are up every 4 years. I don't know. I should know. I'll find out.
I think Chris Morris is up this year.
Does he have any opposition?
Yes. I have to investigate that. But, you know, an interesting
That election is probably in August.
Yes, sir.
But how'd the meeting go, Jim? It was
completely cordial, very nice. They did what, you know, Chris Morris came on and said he was going to meet with me, and they fulfilled their obligation. My takeaway was that it wasn't a meeting to investigate, open quote, how conservative I was, close quote. It was to kind of let me know what the rules are, the rules. And, you know, currently I'm not Republican enough, but I will be in 4 months. And I think I disagree. And I told him, I said, you know, I respectively disagree with that decision, but it is, I do respect the process.
The reality is it would be really hard to beat an incumbent. You know that, right?
It's in you know, you can look at it's all public record. You can pull my voting record. I've voted for Dr. Hensley before, and I've even donated campaign. I just think there's some leadership thing that can be done. And frankly, I think what's one of the things that is missing, and I know I'm cutting you hard here, but part of our executive committee is really to maintain and cultivate new virtuous leadership of our party, the party that I belong to, the party that I vote for, and the party that I follow. And my wife, by the way, too. I think that is the job that's missing. We need to cultivate leadership. And if one thing good comes out of this, which it has, after the break, I'll thank all the over 1,300 people that have responded to me in a variety of ways in our district. But I think that if we can get more good, virtuous leaders to run, our state's better off, our county's better off, our country's better off.
All right. Clayton and I will try to figure out who is running for state executive committee and when that next election will be. We'll talk about that next week because, you know, again, we don't know, and we ought to. And that's when you don't know what the state executive committee does, the Republican executive committee, you don't know what they do, you don't know who they are, you don't even know who's anything about the people who are running, then you get the executive committee that you deserve. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody there. We've gone way over. Let's take a break and come back.
Of celebration at the grand opening and ribbon cutting for Columbia Paint and Wall Covering's brand new Spring Hill location at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, April 24th. Everyone is invited. On Thursday, April 25th at 11 a.m., Contractor Appreciation Day. Refreshments served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering has a long-standing reputation for outstanding customer service. Locally owned and family operated since 1946. Zach Maddox is now the third generation owner and operator, following his grandfather, Ralph Maddox, and his father, Zeke Maddox. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering offers a full line of paints featuring Benjamin Moore, window treatments, wallpaper, and so much more. That's 11 a.m., April 24th and 25th. Columbia Paint and Wall Covering's ribbon cutting, grand opening, and contractor appreciation celebrations. 2001 Campbell Station Parkway in Spring Hill, just off Highway 31 North, next to the Spring Hill Academy and Preschool. Give them a call, 931-674-1985, or visit Columbia Paint and Wall Covering online at paintcolumbia.com. Parks Motor Sales is our area's premier GMC dealership. Their lot at 919 Nashville Highway has an impressive selection of GMC vehicles. Trucks from the light-duty GMC Canyon to the Sierra 3500 Heavy Duty and everything in between. GMC's SUVs are impressive with the Terrain, Acadia, and Yukon. Want luxury? Ask about Denali upgrades. Go to parksmotorsales.com for information and see their awesome offers and services. Parks Motor Sales, GMC. We are professional grade.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
The Columbia Arts Council presents Artist Meetup, April 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Gallery 48, 107 West 7th Street in Columbia, Tennessee. Discover how the Arts Council can help you connect with resources and build our arts community. Join us. Complimentary refreshments, wine, and handshakes with the arts community. Artist Meetup, April 22nd, 5 to 7 p.m. at Gallery 48. Visit www.columbiaartscouncil.com. That's www.columbiaartscouncil.com.
Away, Renee. That's a metaphor for y'all. My name's Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Regular. Whoops. I don't think he's here right now. Ron Hart will be back in a minute. We also have a delight to have Jim Grippo with us here this morning. He was a candidate for the Republican nomination for State Senate.
It was a fun run. Yeah. It was a fun run. It was a fun run.
Now he's just a Republican citizen, Grippo. We're delighted to have him. Morning, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, Ron Hart.
Hey, let me say this to Ron Hart while he just arrived.
All right, hey Ron.
He always refers to what Democrats did Robert Kennedy, and I think that what they're doing Jim Grippo is fundamentally different. Because when you have a person that espouses a completely different ideology than what your party stands for, I think the party has a right to scrutinize that particular person as a candidate. When you look at what happened to Jim, which could have been just a clerical error, that's fundamentally different. That's getting down to nitpicking for everything.
That's tragic. This is what it is.
I disagree. I think Robert, you think a Kennedy doesn't represent the best thing that ever happened to the Democrat Party is a Kennedy. The sad thing is
this Kennedy does not represent the party's values.
Can you let me finish? This Kennedy, you know, represents the values of old. The old Kennedys would never get, John F. Kennedy Sr. would never get through your process now. He said a rising tide lifts all boats. He lowered taxes. He did a lot of things your party won't do right now. So you need to reflect about your party, not that.
Well, the party has a platform, and unlike your party that you stroke, but I'm saying this, it's fundamentally different when you got a wide range of issues that a person that's running disagrees with your party.
Did you just say we don't have a platform?
Yeah, you don't have a platform. The Republicans don't.
The Republican Party doesn't have a platform. Okay. Nope.
But I'm saying that, Ron, it's fundamentally different, and I don't know why you can't see the difference, because a clerical error is something that's minor. When you have ideologies that are espoused by a person that's completely different from what your party stands for, that's important.
Then the party will never change your ideology if you don't have someone there with a little bit different ideology.
Well, maybe the party don't want to change.
You don't know that.
But shouldn't the voters be allowed to decide that, Mr.
Exactly.
You guys think you're so arrogant above the voters, you don't want to give Robert F. Kennedy even a place on the stage to debate.
Well, I don't see you all giving a lot of people a place on the stage in the GOP.
I think I was like 15 on there about 4 years ago on the
all
stage.
Right. I'm going to move on here a minute. Ron has a column that goes to about 50 or 60 platforms around the country and the world, really, websites, newspapers, that kind of thing, where his column runs. And this week his column is called Weather Forecast for New York 45 and Stormy. And he writes that this whole thing in, you know, the trial in New York right now, Trump trials, stems from a 2006 Stag charity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, where porn actresses served as hostesses. Stormy Daniels says she met Trump there. 8 years later, she allegedly shook him down for $130,000 to keep her mouth shut. If you've seen any of her short films, you will know that that does not come easily. If the current case fails, New York district attorneys have another novel legal theory with which to charge Trump. Alvin Bragg should look at a restraint of trade case against Trump, because Trump allegedly made Stormy keep her mouth shut. And since it originally happened on federal land in Lake Tahoe, the EPA is looking into charging Trump for drilling without a permit.
I think I'm too young for this conversation.
And that's
stay tuned,
Ron. You always, you know, that's the zinger part. But you're quite serious about you talk about you know, the political persecutions that have gone on, the cost.
I think the best line in there is this is not a Trump trial. Trump's not on trial here. The national judicial system's on trial here. This is not about Trump with a paper error or a clerical error on whatever they're trying to conflate this thing into. It's not about that. Everybody knows. Everybody sees that. It's about how that system
everybody is not aware of the evidence that's there, Ron.
You're counting on that, right?
About everybody sees that. You don't know what evidence they got.
What evidence is there, Mr. York?
I don't know what evidence they got, but they got enough to hold a trial.
Yeah, they got enough to hold trial because it's a sham trial. You can make up anything on anybody. This happened. He met her in 2008.
Is Mendez a sham trial? Did they plant them gold bars on him?
I don't know if they did or not. Doubt they did.
Yeah, why is he still in Congress? Yeah.
Time.
We vote
why
out.
Why is Jim Jordan still in Congress? Why is Perry still in Congress?
Yeah.
Why is Jim Jordan?
They were part of the January 6th insurrection.
Well, you should throw them in jail. That's the other thing. The January 6th insurrection is a sham as well. I was down at the Atlanta Police Center where the Antifa was bombing the Atlanta Police Center down there. They had 140 arrests down there for bombing, throwing firebombs at a police center, none of which are in jail right now, zero. The January 6th people walked through the Capitol. Some of them were a little bit pushy and pushed things over, monkeyed with Nancy Pelosi's podium, and they're sitting in solitary confinement. Tell me the difference between those two things.
Evidently, they must have thought they were a danger to the nation.
And talk
and
about
Delk, you ought to be able to elaborate on that. when is bond granted and when is bond not granted on a person who's accused?
Miss York, those are clearly political persecutions by biased judges, extremely biased, hateful.
That's
judges.
Your opinion.
That is my
when,
opinion.
When is right, bond granted? When is bond not granted?
We're coming back.
This is Barry Duke, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship. Beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hiller Smile and Save sales event is here. This month, get $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration with descaler, and select new whole home generators. Or take advantage of Heller's $99 AC tune-up or $99 drain cleaning special. When your home needs plumbing, HVAC, or electrical service, call the Happy Face Truck. Smile and save at happyheller.com today.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Are you prepared for what many experts believe to be an exponential tax increase when the Trump tax cuts end here soon? In addition to protecting your hard-earned money during your lifetime, what about college planning? Would you like to see an excellent alternative to the 529 plan? If you think you can do a better job of spending your money than the federal government, give us a call. Call us at 931-269-9520, 931-269-9520, or go to optimalfinancialplanning.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Murray County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
We're back, Three Dudes with a View. The times, they are changing. Who knows what this year is going to bring in these United States of America? And anybody who thinks they know or says they know just ought to immediately just go get in the weather forecasting business. But one thing's for sure, there's a fear out there, because and usually you don't go into an election year afraid. You might go into it with passion. You might go into it with interest. You might not care at all about it being election year, not to think about it at all. But this year, all of us are afraid. And I think, and I'm not talking about afraid that Biden will win. We're afraid of what might happen to the country, what events may transpire.
My name is Dale Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Dale. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How are you?
Good morning, Dale. The problem with a lot of people now your age is that you have no level of optimism about this country surviving. And this country will go through different things, but it will survive. And I don't know where you all are getting the downbeat of the drum, because the country is growing. It's doing things that it hasn't done before that's positive for a lot of people, and it's going to survive. Those of you that are the naysayers will be lost in the clouds. So, you know, it's going to work. I thought the same thing when I was in Vietnam in 1966 to 68. Man, we're not going to make it. But now that I see things disrupted even more, and the country is going to survive. There's a lot of good people, both Republicans and Democrats. Everybody's not extreme, and this country's going to survive.
Nixon was elected in 68, so I can see that.
What happened in 68, Ron?
Nixon was elected.
Yeah. You know, my fear, it's a little broader than this country surviving. I mean, it's Western civilization surviving. And you can say what you want about Western civilization, but, you know, without Western civilization, most of this world would still be living in the dirt. That's not true, Dale.
Yes, that's not true.
Mr. York, that is so true. And that's
look at these third world countries, Mr. York. This country is not all about exceptionalism.
We have some good people, but there are other parts of this globe that are doing well.
Western civilization and exceptionalism are not the same thing. Western civilization, the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, that's what enabled people who were living in the dirt, basically, to take control of the world, take control of this earth, and prosper from it.
And see, that's another part of the big lie, Dale. The civilization started in Africa. Didn't start in Rome. In Africa.
How's Africa doing?
Yeah, how's Africa doing?
It's doing well in many places.
Where?
Go to Nigeria. Go to Ghana. Go to Nigeria. Go to Ghana.
They're living in the dirt.
Oh, it's terrible down there. Kenya. Crime is rampant.
Crime's rampant all over, based on the locale.
Well, there's no law. It's total anarchy. There's no rule of law. I mean, so I don't know if you can't have a crime if you don't have any laws, Ron.
Liberia is a good country. There's the first female president in Liberia in the world.
Last I heard, they were eating each other there.
Angela Merkel was not a...
Yeah, that's because you don't know anything about other parts of the globe, Dale.
Was Angela Merkel a transvestite or something, Mr. York? Angela Merkel? Huh? In the UK,
in Germany,
Margaret Thatcher, was she kind of a tranny or something? What are you saying? The first woman president ever?
In Liberia, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Would you really rather be?
Okay, you said the world. Okay.
Would you really rather be living in Zimbabwe? Gee whiz. I mean, that's the most.
Y'all have no understanding of global information. You live in a bubble, and that's good. Well, you live in your bubble.
I will interject.
But don't denigrate everybody else because you don't know.
All right,
know.
Jim Grippo. I have not reintroduced him. Jim Grippo is still here with us. Jim Grippo, way in here, man.
So I will interject. I've been to Africa 4 times. If you ever get the chance to go, go. There's nothing like seeing.
Oh, I hear it's
beautiful. If you read Hemingway, if you read anything like that, go. Now, would I want to have the infrastructure they have? No, I kind of like driving around here on paved roads. But if you get a chance, go see it because it's what's your theme song? The world it is a changing. It is. So it's a naturally beautiful place where I've been. So
politics aside,
there's nothing like seeing like I said, it's like Hemingway. If you read any of that, it's amazing. So
yeah, I mean that
the politics aside.
Oh yeah, the natural raw beauty, the vastness of the continent.
Unbelievable.
That's all.
I'll come back and do a show on that.
Okay, that sounds like a deal. So there we go. The school voucher thing, I think it just depends on if whatever news story is running is, if the writer is for vouchers, so they say the voucher bill is still alive and well in the Tennessee General Assembly, or if they're against it, they're saying it's dead. Clayton, I mean, Ms. York, has anybody got any feel for, I mean, definitely what's going on at the House and the Senate have not come to an agreement as to what should be, you know, the content of the proposed school scholarship bill, voucher bill, whatever you want to call it. If they don't come to an agreement, there will be no bill. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah. I'm hoping they don't, Dale, really. For the betterment of this state, I hope they don't come to agreement and that bill is killed.
You know, I'm not big on vouchers, Ms. York. You know that. I would be curious. I don't... Hey, well, I mean, I'm just not big on vouchers. I got a letter here from my close friend Mike Penrod dropped by. It's a copy of his letter to Bill Lee. And Mike proposes, you know, I mean, this is an idea that the amount of the voucher be cut in half. So instead of he says instead of a $9,000 voucher, have a $4,500 a year voucher. That way, that would save money and leave some money, depending on your perspective, leave some money in the public schools. So he proposes that as a compromise to cut. And, you know, I mean, that's as good a compromise as any. You know, it's a discussion about a compromise. There's going to have to be some compromise if this thing goes forward. That's for sure.
What really ticks me off, we got Scott Sapicki up there that's pushing that voucher, and he knows the majority of Maury County probably don't want it. The rural counties don't want it. And across this state, there's a lot of dissension about passing the voucher bill, and he continues to beat the drum with Lee to try to pass it. And that's not dealing with your constituents. That's ignoring the people that put him in office. And he's gone with the crooked cabal in Nashville, and he's hanging with them no matter what.
Well, I reject the idea he's gone with a crooked cabal. I think he is sincere. I mean, I support Scott. I mean, he and I can disagree about vouchers, but we've got plenty of room to have a disagreement, and I still support him. I reject the idea of a crooked cabal. I think the governor is, and of course, Scott has to work with the governor. I mean, that's the way the system works. The governor is just, I mean, he's determined that this is going to happen, and his time's running out, and so he wants it to happen. So that's where we are.
You know, the governor is misguided too, Delk. It's just like the fight he's initiating with other southern governors about unionism in auto plants, talking about it's going to change the values we live by. and trying to instill fear in workers, talking about you're going to lose your job. The governor has a lot of misguided directions he's going in, and Scott tends to jump on his bandwagon all the time.
Well,
they lose their job. Look at Indiana. Look at union towns in Indiana and in Michigan. They're going to lose their jobs long term. It's not misguided, Mr. York. That's just silly. Look at
$7.25 an hour is a misguided workers' rate.
There's nobody paying $7.25
an hour. $25 an hour at the BW plant. $25 to $30 an hour. It's not $7.25.
What's wrong with unionizing? What's wrong with unionizing?
Because everybody in the South knows once the union's voted in, it's just a matter of time until the plant leaves. That's just that simple.
Hello, Mexico.
Yep.
Hello, Mexico.
Yep. Jim Grippo.
Hello, China.
You want to weigh in on vouchers?
Yeah, so I think vouchers are kind of an interesting, and this is what I would consider a thinking process. So what's the point, right? The point is, vouchers don't help my kids, right? My kids go to private school. My kids struggle. They have opportunity. My kids get a dinner every night. My kids get tutoring if they need to. My kids get whatever access to make themselves successful.
Right.
And I think any parent, Republican or Democrat, any person, Republican or Democrat, wants children to succeed, particularly in Murray County, particularly in our district, particularly in Tennessee, and obviously in our country. How do we make children succeed? And that is the question. Is it the vouchers? And I can't say I know the fine details of what the bill's coming through.
Essentially, I think it's not $9,000. I think it's about $7,500. It's a scholarship. It's not a, the parents don't get the voucher.
Correct.
Actually, the state of Tennessee would award scholarship money to attend a private school.
And I think the idea of helping kids succeed, 100% behind. I think we got to ferret out sometimes the nitty gritty of how do you make a child succeed. And it may be this scholarship, but I think some of the facts that allow a child to succeed in education are not just where they're sitting in the classroom. And obviously, the bulk of children are going to be in public education in the short term, for sure. And I don't want to see that, by any stretch, take a ding. Angie and I disagree, but she's a public school teacher, and congratulations. I know tons of public school teachers who are doing a fantastic job. I had public school teachers that helped me along, for sure. I think it's a complex issue, but in general, I would like to see some of the discussion turn to what makes education succeed for children. And again, I don't know the nitty gritty of this law per se, but it seems like some of the things we could be doing better doesn't need to be directed per se at my children, right? Because my children are going to be fine, right? And I don't mean that to be flippant. I just mean that's the facts. I put a lot of effort into my children, and they have a lot of opportunity. And what I would like to is not the same result, but I would like to get to move one step a little bit closer to making everyone get the opportunity. And that is important to me. Number one for me is my faith and then my family.
And it sounds like
one of those things are resources, Jim. Resources in public education.
It sounds like you're
or the option or competition between schools where the best schools.
It's not a business, Ron. It's not a business. You're dealing with lives. It shouldn't be a business. It's not a profit or loss statement on whether a kid graduates or not.
A hospital is a business that deals with life. An airplane manufacturer is a business that deals with life. That's the non-logical thing you're saying.
Dealing with kids is not a profit or loss statement at the bottom of it, because some are going to succeed and some not, no matter what you put in.
The numbers are going down. Look at the test scores 10, 15, 30 years ago. We're going down as a country. Something is fundamentally wrong. There's a unionized, one monolithic place to go. They know that. They're trying to gate it where you can't get out with a voucher. Anytime you have competition, you're going to have a better product.
All right, we're out of here, folks. We will see you Monday.